Blog Talk Radio.
Marcus Cain. As I see it, common sense in a world of insanity.
And gentlemen, America and Americans are not safe. Now, I wish I could tell you that we were. I wish I could tell you that everything is fine and the hyperbole over many of these things that are keeping America and Americans not safe is overblown. But the truth of the matter is that we aren't safe. And there are several reasons for it, which we're going to be getting into in this show, as well as what little you can do to try to protect yourself and your family. But first, let's get into this. As the war rages in the Gaza Strip, and we literally have politicians, elected officials, taking the side of actual terrorist organizations, we are now seeing very clearly why hostages are taken. Now, we're being told the Americans that are in Gaza, they're being evacuated. And there were a couple of people, I believe, that were American hostages that were released. But the bottom line of the situation is there was once upon a time, folks, when if you took an American hostage, you knew hell was coming to your doorstep. There were times when actually Americans were told to go because they didn't want that hell coming to their doorstep. Now, unfortunately, when you take an American hostage, it basically means that you're going to get a boatload of money and probably some prisoner release. And they know this. America's been weakened on the world stage to the point where terrorist organizations are not afraid of America. They're simply not. If you're an American, they'll take you right along with the rest. They don't care. Now, we have heard Kirby saying, we're going to get all the Americans out of Gaza, but it's going to take a few days, maybe a little longer than a few days. I want people to remember something. Israel gave 3 weeks' notice before entering Gaza. 3 weeks. If there are people still there, you have to ask yourself a very serious question. Why? Why are they still there? Were they being held there against their will? Was the United States saying, oh, you know, I don't think Israel's really going to do it. I doubt that. So now why are they there? Well, we know why some of the Palestinian people are there. The Palestinian people are there because Hamas won't let them go. And I would assume that that might hold true for the Americans that are there, too. Make it very difficult for them. See, this is the thing that most people do not understand about this so-called invasion into the Gaza Strip. Israel waited 3 weeks, folks. If you were told in 3 weeks someone was coming into your town to deal with a cartel that ran your town, and they didn't want innocent people to suffer, so you have 3 weeks to leave, would you not leave? Would you not say, well, I have nothing to do with this, and I'm not putting my family in danger, so if there's going to be a war between this cartel that runs this town and some other force, we're out, right? That's what you would do. They didn't do it. So now you have to ask yourself why. And I think the answer is pretty clear. We have just heard one of the Hamas leaders on a television show, not broadcast to the United States, mind you, but oh, we found a clip. You can see it on YouTube. Of a Hamas leader saying, this was just the first strike. Israel needs to be taught a lesson. We're going to do this over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. So what they're threatening to do over and over and over again, let's make this very clear, is not attack military bases, is not fight a war with soldiers. It's to target innocent women, children, and civilians, rape them, torture them, set them on fire, behead babies in front of their mothers. That's what they want to do. And if you're an American and you're abroad, you're not safe. You are not safe because you are not special anymore. The terrorists look at you as dollar signs. Oh, you may be spared the beheading. You may be spared the abuse to some degree because they see you as a cash cow. This is because the Biden administration decided that they would play ball with Iran and do what they called a prisoner exchange, except it's not a prisoner exchange, and I'll tell you why it wasn't a prisoner exchange. Because none of the Americans being held there did anything wrong. Now, we have, may have had Iranian people here in our prison who were convicted of crimes. They just simply said, we're just seizing Americans. We'll make up a crime. We'll just make up a crime. And then we'll have a bargaining chip. And the Biden administration, in their infinite wisdom, said not only will we release these terrorists, basically, but we'll free up your $6 billion. So what signal did that send to Iran, whose buddies are Hamas, who they fund? It sent a signal, if you do happen to come across Americans, don't let them go. Use them as a bargaining chip later. Because this administration, they'll play ball with you. They'll have to. And so they do. See, Iran's goal, folks, is to get Hamas to terrorize Israel to the point where basically Iran wants Israel gone, and they want Americans out of the Middle East. So what they're trying to do is perpetrate this using their money and Hamas's forces. That's what they're trying to do, and Iran will stick their nose into it as deep as it can possibly get. It's already in it as deep as it possibly can get. They funded this act of terrorism. They don't care if you're an American. They prefer to kill the Israelis because they want every Jew killed. This is another Holocaust. If Hamas had their way, there would be another Holocaust. So when you hear people, supposedly educated people, people who are elected officials, get on television and say, but what about what Israel is doing to our people? What about the women and children that were bombed? Well, number one, they were given 3 weeks' notice. You, if you were at all, in any way, shape, or form, caring about your own civilians, would have said, take that time to leave. We'll fight your battles. We don't want anyone here. We're evacuating you all. There would have been forced evacuation. That's what would have happened if you cared about your people. Maybe some stubborn people would have said, I want to stay. No, you're not staying. You're a civilian. We're not putting you in danger. We know it's coming. You have a limited amount of time to get out, get your stuff, and go. It's not what they did, folks. They told them, you're going nowhere. You're our human shield. You're our headlines. So when your family gets blown to bits because we've decided to build a tunnel underneath your houses, we'll then take pictures of it and spread it all over the news. Look what Israel did. Well, who really did it? So right now, as an American citizen, no, you are not safe abroad. You are not safe anywhere. You are not safe in Mexico. You are not safe in the Middle East. You're not safe anywhere. And now here's another harsh reality. You're not safe in this country. As I speak right now, I don't care where you live. There is no one who lives in a more rural area than myself. And I am not safe. None of you are safe. Now, granted, if you live in the bigger cities, you're less safe. But none of us are safe. Because when we have these open borders, where there are literally millions and millions of people who we cannot in any way, shape, or form vet, coming in on a regular basis, logic would tell you, let's just say we want to take the Democrats' talking points and say, well, most of these people are just great people looking for a better life. Oh, but I defy you to find a million people, get a crowd of a million people. How many? What's the percentage of people in there that are dangerous criminals? I'll bet you 5%, 4%. What do you want to say? 2%? 2% of a million? That's too many. And if you think for 1 minute, like the airheads that make up the Democratic Party, oh, well, this is just a Mexican thing. No, it's not. No, it's not. There are members of Hamas flooding the border right now. Do you think Hamas is not taking this opportunity to send people across this border? To plant people in major cities in case they want another 9/11 to happen at some point in time? Do you understand that we just had our FBI director, Christopher Wray, say we are on extraordinarily high alert? Extraordinarily high alert. And when asked a very simple question, are we safer now under Joe Biden than we were under Donald Trump? Christopher Wray dodged the question and said, well, we're better prepared now than we were. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means no, we're not. It means I'm not going to give him that credit. But no, we're not safer. But then again, folks, that's logical. How can you be safer when we basically have open borders? And if you think your politicians, as we speak now, that are in charge of this, the Biden administration gives one damn about you, you are absolutely insane. I have just watched Mayorkas. He doesn't care. He is clueless. Absolutely 100% clueless. As are other people that are responsible for this. When they were asked very simple questions, like, do you understand that a good amount of these children that are coming across this border are being sex trafficked and being used for slave labor? Well, yes, we understand. Okay, well, then why are you continuing to allow it? Why are you continuing to allow this? And they have no answers. I hope you watched some of these hearings. There's no answer. They have no answers. They just try to dodge the question and say, yes, but we give them a talking to. We give them a set of guidelines. Yeah, and then you turn them loose to the very people who are going to exploit them. Where are the children? They're missing. Well, how come they're missing? And you know what their answers are? But we talk to each one. I don't care if you talk to them. You're failing. And in the meantime, you're letting people into this country who do not have this country's best interest at heart. Now, it's a whole different ballgame to talk about where are we going to house the people who really do want a better life. That's a whole nother situation. We don't have the infrastructure to deal with this. We don't have the medical facilities to deal with this. We don't have the housing to deal with this. But they don't care. Because they're determined to start a whole new voting block. Because they know that their plans now are so exposed, no one's going to vote for them. Except crazy people. So they figure, well, we have to get a new voting block in here because our game is being exposed. And in another, I don't know how many years, no one's going to vote for us except these people because we hold their fate in the palm of our hands. So, of course, they'll vote. And in the meantime, here come the terrorists. In the meantime, here come the people that are mentally unstable. Here come the people who are drug cartel members. Here comes the fentanyl that's killing Americans at the most rapid rate possible. You're not safe. No one even knows. You see, this is the problem. I've heard from so many people, oh, well, you know, so smoke a little joint or whatever. Yeah, and how about if it's laced with fentanyl and you don't even know it? How about that? It's not like you know it. It's not like you say, oh, it smells like fentanyl. That doesn't work that way. And then you're dead. This is why you're not safe, folks. You're not safe because they don't want you safe. From day one, this administration was hell-bent on doing the following things. One, turning friend against friend and neighbor against neighbor due to political ideology. Two, starting race wars and making sure that it was very clear that if you were on the Republican side and you happened to be, even if you were black, you were a member of the KKK, they said that Larry Elder was the black face of the Ku Klux Klan. That's what they said. And they said that to try to isolate African Americans from Caucasians. Oh, that's right. We've been oppressed too long. Kill the white man, right? Okay. Because that's what they wanted. Then they tried to do male against female. They're trying to separate you because it's easier to take you over once you are separated. Divide and conquer. That's another reason you're not safe. Because now people have dehumanized you. Oh, you voted for Trump? You're scum. Oh, you voted for Biden? You're scum. I wouldn't help that person. I wouldn't help that person. Okay. Well, you played right into their hands because that's what they want. I want you all to understand, you may not have heard this because a lot of news channels or even blogs are not mentioning this. George Floyd's autopsy was released. He did not die from asphyxia. Let me repeat that. George Floyd did not die from asphyxia. And we now have a former prosecutor who said she talked to the man who did the actual autopsy. And he told her, what am I to do when the facts don't meet up with the public narrative? I could lose my job over this. This is something you lose your career over. What does that mean? It means if I don't play the game, and I don't say that this man who clearly was not asphyxiated was indeed asphyxiated because that's what they want the narrative to be, I will probably lose my job. Instead of, oh, I can clear this up. There's an innocent man currently in prison for the rest of his life who did not murder George Floyd, as it turns out. Now, what did I tell you on this show way back when it happened? I said, if you expect me to believe that a white officer surrounded by African Americans slowly and purposely killed this man while other African American officers held the crowd back while people were filming it on their cell phone, then you must be nuts. Of course they wouldn't do that. You want to talk about implicating yourself. So now we know the truth. And the truth is, George Floyd wasn't murdered. George Floyd died from a drug overdose. That's it. Yet there's a man in prison for the rest of his life, and he's probably going to stay there. Because that's not the narrative. The narrative is an evil Caucasian officer decided on the one day when he woke up, I'm going to kill a black man today because I hate them. And he picked the guy out of the clear blue sky. And even though other African-American officers were on the scene watching him, even though a whole entire crowd had gathered around and all of them had their cell phones open and were recording it, he said, I'm killing him anyway. Told you that never happened. Told you that never happened. So, again, you're not safe. And the reason that you're not safe is because they are trying to stir up the crowds. You know how many people were killed because of the George Floyd riots? A riot that never should have happened. Because every single person should have said, wait till the autopsy comes out. Let's see what it says. Looks bad, but let's see what it says. And then when it said, no, he died of a drug overdose, okay, well, then the officer was not responsible for his death. But they didn't dare do that because they didn't want to do it. They wanted the riot. They wanted the suffering. They wanted the discourse. They wanted the chaos. Because while that's going on, they can do three other things behind your back. And folks, this is the reason that Ukraine was invaded. Joe Biden literally gave the red light to Vladimir Putin. He not only gave his pipeline back, but he got on national television and said, well, if it's just a minor invasion, we might not do anything. We don't know. We'll have to see what the extent of it is. That's what he said. And now they want to keep this war going as long as they possibly can. Because it's not only enriching everyone, but it's causing people to look the other way. Now, the situation with Israel is a little bit different. But the Biden administration still funded it. When you give $6 billion back to people who are chanting death to Israel, and by the way, death to the United States too, you basically funded their operations, right? So now they give a portion of that money to Hamas, and Hamas is able to go do what they want to do. And they're doing Iran's bidding. That's what they're doing. And while all of this is happening, America is becoming less and less and less safe. We have people walking the streets right now as we speak who are either A, drug addicted and desperate for money, B, criminals of the highest degree that cross the border to escape possible incarceration, C, terrorists and people who are planning to probably do things to, Lord knows what, shopping malls. Christmas is coming, folks. You're not even safe to go Christmas shopping. Do you remember, it wasn't so very long ago, do you remember going Christmas shopping and even strangers that you met would say, oh, Merry Christmas. You're passing people in the mall and everybody's smiling. Everybody's happy. Everybody's looking for that perfect gift. And there's a sense of goodwill. Now you see people hurrying. Let me get in and let me get out. I don't know if I'm safe here. Who's that behind me? Who's coming up in front of me? Do I dare look this person in the eye? I don't know about this person. You can't live like this. You can't live like rats in a cage. But that's the way the Democratic Party wants you to live. They want you to live in fear because fear controls you. COVID fear controls you. Fear of terrorism is controlling you. Fear of street violence is controlling you. That's why they don't give one damn about the crime rate. Because they want you controlled. For every person who says, I guess I'm not coming into the city, oh, good, there's less emissions. Oh, good, there's less individual businesses making money. Only the corporate businesses are going to be making money. You're not even safe from your own government. Because your own government, if you support the wrong person, will target you. If you attempt to tell people, I don't want my child indoctrinated by drag queens and transvestites, they will come for you. We have freedom of religion in this country, and apparently you can't even pray because someone was arrested for praying across the street from an abortion clinic. For doing what? Exercising their legal right to pray? Do you remember when the police stormed churches during the COVID fiasco and arrested people who were sitting in church? Did they raid Walmart and arrest people who were sitting in Walmart? I don't recall that. I recall them saying it's safe to go to Walmart. You can go to Walmart if you want to go to Walmart. There'll only be 8,000 people there because nothing else is open. But you'll be safe. But if 22 people want to sit in a pew in church, you're going to be arrested. You can go to the liquor store, buy all the liquor you want. No problem if there's a line of 75 people. Who cares? But if you want a slice of pizza, and you want to sit at a booth and eat that slice of pizza, that's a no. Let the pizzeria go out of business. You want to go see grandma for Thanksgiving, you can forget it. Your little party of eight are super spreaders. But when the streets were filled with George Floyd rioters, tens of thousands of them, we were told, no, that's not a super spreader. Perfectly okay. They want you to live in fear. And I'm going to be honest with you, you should be fearful. You honestly should be fearful. Because nothing good is going to come. We've been weakened in the eyes of the world to the point where no country actually fears our military might. No country fears our word anymore. I remember a time when if a U.S. president said, don't you dare, there were people not only second and third guessing, they were eighth and tenth guessing before they did anything. Because they clearly understood there's going to be repercussions and they're not going to be pretty. What was it that Donald Trump told to the Afghan rebels, right? What did he tell them? He told the Taliban leader, if one American, one, gets hurt in any way, shape, or form, hell is coming to you, and I know where you live. I know your exact address. I know where your house is. Now, that may sound heavy-handed, but guess what? It worked. When the Biden administration had that horrible pullout of Afghanistan, every single country took a look at that and said, this is a joke. They can't get out of their own way. This is the mighty America we're supposed to fear. They are at their weakest part right now. Do what needs to be done now. And since that has happened, two wars. Ukraine and Russia, and now Israel has invaded Gaza and they're at war with Hamas. All because the Biden administration just said, well, let's just try to make peace with everybody. You go ahead, you can have your $6 billion. You can have your pipeline. And what did they do with it? What did they do with that? They took it as a sign of weakness. So either this administration is Ice Cube stupid, or they're doing it on purpose. And I'm here to tell you, I think they're doing it on purpose. They want this turmoil. They want this chaos. They don't want the United States, in the eyes of the world, to be the most powerful. In fact, it absolutely irritates them that we are. You heard all of the Palestine supporters and Hamas supporters saying, you know, Israel's got to stop this. Israel is the human rights violations. In the meantime, Iran, wait till you hear this. Iran is literally going to take the chair at the United Nations today on a human rights social forum. Iran. Can somebody please tell me what good the UN is? Can somebody please tell me why one drop of our money goes there? When you would let Iran literally head the chair of a human rights social forum, then you're a joke. You're an absolute joke. But that's what's happening. So crime has escalated in all of the Democratic-run cities, especially to the point where you're not safe from crime. You're not safe in your house because apparently you can break into somebody's house and they better not do anything to you. You're not safe in a business because it's perfectly fine to steal, and Lord knows that the next thing that's going to happen, wait and see. You got these people coming in doing smash and grabs. And right now they're only stealing from the store. Most of them. Pretty soon, they're going to start stealing from the customers. They're going to start saying, I want the wallets. I want the jewelry. That's what's coming. So if you're in one of those stores, would you want to be in there with your wife? Would you want to be in there with your children? When a gang comes running in, smashing and grabbing, and maybe you get trampled, maybe you get beaten, maybe you get robbed, maybe worse? Of course not. Of course you wouldn't. If you're in some of the big cities like San Francisco, you feel comfortable walking those streets, do you? With homeless encampments that are filled to the brim with mentally ill people and drug addicts, because that's what you have for the most part, mentally ill people and drug addicts. You feel safe doing that? Well, apparently big businesses don't because they're moving out of there, and they're citing crime as the reason. Walmarts are closing, Targets are closing, Rite Aids are closing, Starbucks are closing, all over the place. And they're citing the reason, too much violence, too much crime. So translate that into, we're afraid to stay here. Not only are we going to take a bath financially, but someone's going to get killed. That's exactly what their motivation is for leaving. You can't even take the subway in New York. Because you don't know when a madman's going to walk through those doors, and God forbid you stand up to try to do something, you're the criminal. There are people who will pull out their cell phones and watch you being beaten like they did a 60-some-odd-year-old woman when a mentally ill man took her cane and beat and beat and beat on her while people were literally filming it for their YouTube videos or their TikTok videos, but no one was stepping in to help. And the reason they're not stepping in to help is they've been conditioned. If you step in to help, you're a criminal. We're going to come for you. We're not going to come for the guy who has the cane beating the old woman. We're coming for you. And God forbid that it's a minority that's doing the beating, and you happen to not be a minority, because then you're going to be a racist too. So people have been conditioned. Do not help them. Don't help them, you'll be put in jail. Don't help them, they voted for Trump. Don't help them, they voted for Biden. Them, they're a white guy. That's what they want. They've divided us now. They've divided us to the point where it's very easy to conquer us. And that's what they're looking to do. They're looking to conquer us. Just the other day, and Joe Biden literally said China's going to come over here and look at some of our nuclear. Well, are you kidding? Are you kidding? What we need to do here, folks, is we need to start thinking rationally. And we need to start from the very base of this, which is, if your neighbor has a Biden sign on his lawn, it doesn't mean that he's a child molester. It doesn't mean that he's a communist. It doesn't mean that he's a radical. And you can't treat him like it. If your neighbor has a Trump sign on his lawn, doesn't mean he hates black people. It doesn't mean he's a Nazi. It doesn't mean he's whatever. And you got to stop treating him like it does. You can have intelligent political conversations, but there aren't any anymore. There aren't any. I used to have very intelligent political conversations with people where we would discuss policy in depth, and we would share a, you know, lunch, right? Let's get a pizza, and you're a Democrat, and I'm a Republican, and I'll tell you why I think this tax thing is unfair, and you tell me why you think it's necessary. And at the end, we say, okay, well, we disagree, but, you know, at the end of the day, you want what you want because you think it's best for the country, and I want what I want because I think it's best for the country. That's how it used to be. Not that way anymore. Now, if you sit down with a Democrat and you say, look, we can't have these open borders. Oh, you're a racist. Oh, I can't talk to you anymore. You're one of those Trumpians. Oh, my God, forget it. What are you, a Nazi? What do you got? You got a rebel flag in your garage? What do you hate the people who aren't Caucasian? Stop already. Stop it. Because you're the same people. If someone came knocking on your door and said, can I come in and use your bathroom? My car broke down. I can't get a signal. Can I use your phone if you have one? You tell them to get lost. I don't know you. I'm not letting you in my house. My wife and kids are in the other room sleeping. I'm not letting you in my house. Oh. Well, America's your house. If you're an American, America's your house. And you're letting a lot of people you don't know in your house. And they're introducing your son and your daughter and your wife and your husband and your brother and your sister to fentanyl. And they're killing them. Whether it be drunk drivers, whether it be muggings, whether it be whatever happens to be, more and more people are falling victim to the crime. Carjackings, whatever. Because when you let in that many people, there's going to be a percentage that are bad news. And when overcrowding hits and people get very desperate and people get very claustrophobic, bad things happen. But you've got to pretend you don't care. You've got to pretend and say, no, everything's fine. All these people are wonderful people. All of them are? Then how come there's a child sex trafficking going on? How come there's so much fentanyl coming across the border? If they're all wonderful people, they wouldn't traffic children. If they're all wonderful people, they certainly wouldn't be trafficking fentanyl. And your government wouldn't allow it, but your government is allowing it. And if you say anything, you're the bad guy. Now, I've just given you a prime example of how your government tries to control you through fear. When COVID hit, you were told, go to Walmart, shop all you want. Got to wear a mask, but go to Walmart and shop all you want. You want to stay in Walmart for 6 hours straight, go ahead. But if you walk through the door of that church and you set your ass down in a pew for a half hour, cops are going to arrest you. Because you're potentially a super spreader. Tell me what sense that made. It made no sense. The real sense was, we don't want you in those churches. We don't want you praying because your salvation is the government. That's what we want. We are actively working on what you need to do. You need to wear masks. You need to take your vaccine, and that's it. The bottle is your solution. You could walk into a liquor store and you could take 2 hours and a half to decide what kind of booze you want to shove down your throat. But if you want to sit in a pew and listen to a preacher, you're a criminal. Wasn't that your first clue? Wasn't that your first clue that something's very terribly wrong? Should have been. So, yes, Americans are living in fear, and you should live in fear. Fear of the constant crime rate going up, fear of terrorism in this country, which is on such a high escalation right now that even Christopher Wray could not wash away that fact and said, well, but I feel as though we're better prepared. Yeah, well, I don't care how you feel. The question wasn't, are you better prepared for terrorism? The question was, are we at a greater threat than we were under the Trump administration? And he didn't have the balls to say, of course we are. Of course we're at a greater threat. So instead he says, well, but we're better prepared now. What kind of a mealy-mouthed answer is that? Really annoys me. So now I can't have political discourse with friends of mine because, well, with some friends of mine I can because they're friends, but I can't have it with a neighbor. Because instantaneously, if I was to say I'm going to put a sign up on my lawn that says vote for Donald Trump, then I am a racist. And if he puts up the Biden sign, what am I supposed to do? Because at the end of the day, you treat people the way they treat you. I just haven't heard anyone who can clearly articulate to me anything that Joe Biden has done that has helped America out one bit in these last 3 years. I don't know of anyone who can think of anything. The economy? No, it's terrible. Education? No, it's terrible. Our status on the world stage? Terrible. What is it that he's done? What's the accomplishment? You want me to list some of Donald Trump's accomplishments? ISIS? Defeated. China, put in check. Iran was literally on their knees. Economy, soaring. Prices of gasoline and oil, lowest they've ever been. We were the number one exporter of oil. We didn't need any foreign oil. We had a very, very, very low unemployment rate. First-time house buyers in the minority section, way higher. So what is it that Donald Trump did so bad? I've just listed you the things that he did good. Then name me what Biden did. Nothing. Nothing. This has all been a ploy, folks. Divide and conquer. Keep the people living in fear. This is what they do in fascist and communist countries. Their people live in fear. They don't trust their neighbor. They don't trust people of a different nationality. So everybody just keeps to themselves and says, I don't know who to trust. I better not talk to anybody. I better not go outside my house. I better not travel. I better not do too much. That's what they want. 5 minutes after Joe Biden was elected, a commercial ran, which I've talked to you about before, and they pulled it very quickly, but you can still see it if you go onto the internet. They aired a commercial saying, imagine a future where you own nothing. But you're happier owning nothing because, you see, the government will own it all for you and you just rent what you need. Your house, your car, your appliances, everything. You don't own it. We own it. Well, I've imagined that world, and that's a communist world, and I don't want to live in a communist world. Now they pulled that commercial because they knew people were going to figure that out. They knew people would figure it out right away. But this is their plan. So now I want you to ask yourself, do you feel safer now than you did 4 years ago? When Hamas is saying death to America, when Iran is saying death to America, when they're saying death to Israel, when the borders are being flooded by people who are clearly coming across here. If you're a terrorist and you're not coming across the United States open border, then that's terrorist malpractice. Of course you're going to. Do you think in your wildest dreams that these terrorist organizations aren't salivating, saying the border is open? This is our chance. Why wouldn't they? In the meantime, if you happen to be of a criminal ilk, is this not the best time for you? Oh, I can go into Walmart and steal stuff and they won't stop me. I can do a smash and grab and then nobody's going to say anything to me. See, but it was never about the store's losses. What it really was about is you not wanting to go there. When I was a teenager, my mom would drop me off at the mall with my friends. We'd spend the whole day there. I've just talked to a mother who said, my daughter's not allowed on the mall without me. I don't trust it. Is that the world you want to live in? Because that's the world you're living in. They don't want you to have any faith. Faith is an evil thing. So you can't have that. If you have any faith, then, you know, forget it. You can't look out for the interests of your child when it comes to education because they're our children. They're not your children. That's according to them. That's according to Joe Biden himself, who said these are our children. They don't just belong to the parents. They're our children. Oh, no, incorrect. They're buying up all the properties. So nobody can have, homeowning as a goal. They want these electric cars so they can shut them off anytime they want. You know how easy it would be? They're letting the criminals run wild in the streets to keep you inside because COVID's no longer keeping you inside. This is another thing they divided you with, the masks. Because a lot of people said, I'm not taking the jab and I'm not wearing the mask. The mask is foolish and I don't trust the vaccine. So then your neighbor's like, you're going to kill somebody. You're going to be a super spreader. While they're wearing their mask alone in their car driving to the store where they will touch everything that other people have touched and think the mask is keeping them safe. This was the psyops to see how much of the population can we convince? How much of the population can we rule with just abject fear? And they got a lot of you. I'm not saying COVID wasn't real. Every time I do this, people say COVID was real. I know COVID was real. So is pneumonia real. So is the flu real. And it kills people. I get it. This was really, really, really bad. But it wasn't as bad as you made it out. And the steps that you asked the citizens of the United States to take were unnecessary. And now we know that's true. That's not me saying it. That is true. So what have we learned? The borders are open. Anybody can come in. What have we learned? Joe Biden has funded two wars, which is going on right now, making us all less safe and poorer as a country because that's where all our tax dollars are going. What have we learned? The crime rate is soaring because they are not prosecuting anybody. And a lady who currently is going to try to get to be a judge in the Biden administration just literally testified or being vetted told, well, she didn't tell. They found a letter where she said during the COVID, you have to let everybody out of jail. Everybody. Jails are not safe. Therefore, everybody has to be let out. This is a person who the Biden administration wants to be a judge. These are not accidents. If you're fearful right now, it's because the government wants you fearful. They want you fearful of something else, too, folks. They want you fearful of voting for Donald Trump. Oh, you better not. He's going to jail, and the FBI, we got a list of people who voted for Donald Trump. Some of you people are going to be investigated. After all, you could be domestic terrorists. Of course, if you voted for Biden, oh, you're a hero. You're a patriot. Except, what did Joe Biden do that's patriotic? You got to start asking yourself some hard questions, folks. We cannot continue this way as a country, or we are going to crash and burn. I don't hate people who voted for Joe Biden, but I wish you would listen to reason. I wish you would at least take the time to say it is possible that I was misled about Donald Trump. It is possible that there was a lot of hyperbole that I bought into that really wasn't true. It is a possibility that he wasn't as bad as people said he is. That's all I'm asking. I'm fair when it comes to Joe Biden. It was just a couple of months ago that Joe Biden made some small gaffe. I don't remember what it was. Clearly corrected himself. Clearly it wasn't cognitive decline. And all the Republicans said, oh, my God, see what he said now. Come on. Now you're pissing on my leg and telling me it's raining. He just made a slight error. Anybody could do that. Now, I'm not saying he's not cognitively declined. He can't find his way off stage. And there's steps to the left and the right. But on that particular time, he didn't do anything wrong. And I was the first person to say, no, I don't think he did anything wrong because I'm fair. Donald Trump takes a drink of water. Now he's diabetic. You see how he's gulping down that water? You see how he can't barely walk, but Joe Biden falls up the stairs. Oh, that's fine. The wind just blew him down. See how that works? See, that's why you can't argue with these people, because they don't want to actually argue policy. They want everything that Trump does is bad, everything that Biden does is good, and it doesn't matter if my family suffers, it doesn't matter if you suffer, it doesn't matter if the crime rate is up, it doesn't matter if there's war in the East, North, West, and South. That's the way it is. It's almost brainwashing. It's almost brainwashing. So what you need to do, folks, is you need to send a clear message. We're not afraid. We are not afraid. We refuse to live in fear. I'm going Christmas shopping, and I'm going with a song in my heart. And I'm going to enjoy it. And I'm going to say Merry Christmas to everybody that passes me. I'm going to do it with a smile on my face. And I'm not going to worry that there's a gunman in the mall. I'm not going to worry about a terrorist attack. I'm not going to worry about a carjacking. I'm not going to worry about anything, because that's what they want. And I refuse to live in fear. And I'm voting for Donald Trump because I refuse to listen to people who want me to stop supporting a man I know for a fact was better for this country, even though he wasn't my first choice. The minute Donald Trump came down that escalator, I didn't say, oh, my God, that's the man I'm voting for. I'm like, you got to be kidding. This guy thinks he's going to win. He's not going to win anything. I thought he was doing it for publicity. And even when he won, I said, well, let's wait and see. This could be good. Could be bad. It was good, folks. Everything worked out just fine. And now the same people who want you to live in fear and want you to be their, see, they want to be your God. That's another thing. They want to be your God. That's why they hate religion so badly. They want to be your gods. And they know Donald Trump's standing in the way of that. They want you to have to worship at the feet of government. Oh, my God, please help me. I could never survive without the almighty government. Here's the news flash. You could close the government tomorrow. Everything would be just fine, except people wouldn't get their welfare checks. The government makes no money. The government steals yours, technically, but they do. Some of it goes to good infrastructure and things, but a lot of it goes to bull. But they want to be your lord and masters. Let me go to the phones. Tom in New York, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, I am. Well, sir, you brought up a very interesting point, several, actually, but I'm going to piggyback off this one. The COVID nonsense during the riots, which were at the height of COVID, not one person in that crowd that was rioting and causing billions of dollars worth of damage in every Democrat-run city was wearing a mask. That's not a super spreader. But Donald Trump has a rally in Oklahoma. Oh, my goodness gracious, that's a super spreader. You can't do that. He's killing people. No.
But it was even worse than that. Okay, let's – you know what, though? That's fair, and you're right. But it was even worse than that. You had 10,000 people on the street. Maybe you're going to have 10,000 people at a Trump rally. So it's equal. You're right. If one's not a super spreader, the other isn't. But what was really obnoxious and what was really telling, what showed me what they were doing, was when they went into churches and arrested people when there's 20 people in church. No, you were told not to be here. Who do you think you are? You can't be here, but you could be in Walmart. But you could be out in the streets burning a building down, burning Wendy's down, looting. That you could do. If that church said, we are here to pay homage to George Floyd, and you put a George Floyd banner up there instead of Jesus on the cross, nobody would have been arrested. As a matter of fact, it would have made the news. Look at these wonderful people and what they did. Because that's what they want. They want you faithless, penniless, owning nothing, and fearful. That's what they want. And they're achieving it to some degree, Tom.
Some degree.
Yeah, and they would. I'm going to piggyback off that too. They want you completely dependent and at their mercy. They are trying to program, and they've been doing it for a long time. We just didn't see it until the beginning of the Trump administration. They've been trying to program everybody who's under educated and are groupthink that cannot make decisions for themselves. They want everybody against each other, black, white, male, female, whatever. They don't want us to get along. They want us divided.
They want you separated by nationality, ideology, religion, everything. They want you separated. And they want to be able to dictate to you what you can do, from what you can eat to where you can work to what you can drive. I want you people to remember something. Electric cars you may think is wonderful. Can you store electric in a can? What's going to happen when the grids go down? You get low on gas, you might have out in your shed somewhere, you might have two or three containers full of gas to get you where you need to go. You're going to have two or three containers full of electricity when they decide to shut the grids off. I want you to think about that. How do electric cars work? If, for instance, everybody had an electric guitar, electric car, in Hawaii there, right? How would that have worked? When you're trying to flee the fires and there's nowhere to go and you're low. I guess I'm just going to burn up. We should be very afraid as Americans. But we can't let the fear conquer us. Caution and vigilance is fine. Living in fear is not fine. I want you people to have a great holiday season. I want you to go shopping. I want you to do it with a smile on your face. I want you to visit your relatives. I want you to go where you need to go. I want you to live your life. And don't be in fear of what the government wants you to be in fear of, because when you are, they own you. They own you. I don't see them in fear. I see them all walking around with big smiles on their faces while their houses are behind walls with armed security, but you can't have any. While they had their parties during COVID with no masks, but you couldn't. While they drive whatever cars they want to drive, but you can't have one. Don't let that happen, folks. Don't let the government take away your joy of life, or they won.
Marcus Kane. As I see it, common sense in a world of insanity.